Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning, and we are so glad that you're here, and we want to welcome you on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost. And we have gathered together in the presence of the Lord to worship and to pray and to hear God's word and to be encouraged and strengthened in our faith to continue to go out and be a blessing. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking a little bit about why God pays attention to us and the significance of how God has made us. And if you happen to grab the sermon outline, you saw the title there, Holding On to Our Crown. And so we'll be talking about that a little bit later on, but we want to welcome you. We want to welcome those that are going to be listening in online later on. And so as we begin, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together there for our call to worship. We gather to rejoice in the Holy One. We assemble as people called to community by and with our Redeemer. We are open to the possibilities made by the Spirit. Well, let's join together there. We're going to turn in our hymn books 440, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We're singing the first, second, and fourth verse this morning. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. How I love to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He art with me, He'll be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, prove Him o'er and precious Jesus, oh, for grace. Let's sing the refrain again. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Oh, proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer. Gracious One, Your love sustains us, molds us, and empowers us. May we dwell in that love as You dwell in us, faithfully, joyfully, and abundantly. Renew us as Your people, grounded and flourishing with You, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we're going to go to our next little chorus hymn there on 506 or on the PowerPoint. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. And we'll sing it through twice this morning. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch. Make it your prayer as we sing it again. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to I think we only have one this morning. He already went down? That's fine. I don't blame him. I know when there was nobody else and Chase was the only one, he didn't always like coming up early anyway. So, well, I guess we will go in to our time of prayer this morning. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer. Yes. Okay, so Mandy's going to be going into surgery on August the 24th. She's on our monthly calendar, and we definitely want to continue praying for her. And so we'll have to remember her as we go here, get closer to the 24th there. So someone else this morning. Yeah. Okay, so we want to remember both Jennifer and Kitty this morning. Yeah, so we want to remember those. Yes, and I did talk to Ellie, sounding really great. As she called it, they roto-rooted her leg. And yes, one of her arteries or veins, I didn't ask specifically, in her leg where she had a blockage. And but she still, just remember her, she's still having trouble with her sciatic, and I think they're going to do a procedure here coming up soon. I'm not exactly sure when yet. I think they're going to maybe do some shots with her to see if that gives her some better relief with that issue. And but yeah, I wanted to give you a little bit of an update there. Someone else this morning. Yes. Yes, and I kind of figured that because of what he went through and some things she was posting on Facebook for Greg. And I'm hoping to go see him in the next day or two. A lot of times I wait a few days so that they can get the rest and sleep they need. But because he had some ups and downs there. I know the prayer chain knows this, but he had some ups and downs there for a few days after the surgery. They were concerned, they wouldn't have, if he wasn't doing better, they wouldn't have let him go home. But he'll probably get rest, and I don't know if they're going to do. Have you heard anything about rehab? Okay, I'll find out more about it. But definitely want to keep him, Greg, in our prayers. Someone else this morning. Yeah.
I have a friend named Deacon. She's very much alone, and she just found out that she has lump in her breast. She's going to have surgery this coming Friday.
And did you say K?
D.
Oh, D, sorry. Okay. Okay, so we want to remember D in our prayers and finding this lump and asking for God's presence to be with her. And it can be hard, you know, when you're already facing some loneliness and then facing that on top of that. And you know, it might not be a bad idea if you happen to have an address, maybe the church can send a little card to her and let her know that we are praying for her. I don't usually say that from the pulpit. Sometimes our ladies on our card ministry will just go ahead and do that, but that might not be a bad idea to do that. Someone else? Yeah. Yeah. So we want to continue praying and lifting up Bill in our prayers, asking for God's touch on him and for healing there. And hopefully there'll be a good report. Someone else. I thought I saw another. Yeah.
2 months.
Okay. And we know that the Lord knows those. Anyone else? Yeah. Unspoken. Okay. Yes, God knows what those are. Anybody else this morning? Okay. Well, we want to continue praying for Kay. I saw that Jim wasn't here again, so that concerns me. I'm going to have to give him a call because last week he stayed out because of some possibilities of Kay coming in contact over there at the rehab center with COVID. And I was surprised. I thought I'd see him here today, so I'm hoping he hasn't had some issues there. And so I will try to get a hold of him. But we want to lift up both of them this morning. And anybody else this morning? All right. So those are the ones. We want to continue praying for those on our monthly list. Continue to pray for that situation in Ukraine. I was reading some things that just doesn't seem to be. There's some calls for Turkey's been kind of making some calls to try to bring the U.S. and Russia and Ukraine together to try to do some ceasefiring and peace things there, because it just seems to be escalating and more people are just dying. And just continue to pray about that situation there and for some peace there. As she plays this morning, give you a chance to pray for some of these needs and maybe some others on your heart that you couldn't share. Lift those to the Lord, and then I'll come and close us out. Thank you. Lord, we are just so thankful that we can come to you, that your love and your mercies, your grace, your goodness are just there for us when we reach out. And sometimes I know it seems difficult when we pray and it seems like you don't hear us. But we know that you do hear, in spite of what our thoughts say to us, in spite of what someone else may say to us. And that we can look to you and trust you, and that you love us with an unfailing love. And that you've crowned us with glory and honor to be your people in this world. And I lift up those that have been mentioned today that are struggling, that are in need of your touch, your help. Lord, thank you for those here that mentioned these various ones, that they're concerned and that they've been standing in the gap and are concerned. Lord, we lift up Mandy, Lord. And Lord, as she's going to be going in for surgery, we just pray that you'll just guide and direct. Even though that's a month away yet, we just trust you for that. We thank you for the good report for Ellie, and we're thankful that her leg is and the blood flow is going so much better. And we ask for your continued healing touch and strength for her. And when she goes in for these shots, Lord, that they'll be able to bring relief and peace to her. Lord, we lift up Jennifer and Kitty, and Lord, I don't know exactly what is going on with each of them, but we just lift them up to you. They're in the hospital right now, and we just ask for your touch and your grace. We lift up Greg, and Lord, thank you so much for bringing him through that surgery. Thank you for your grace and your hand. Thank you for the doctors and surgeons, and we just ask that you would continue to bring strength and grace and faith for him during this time. We lift up Dee, Lord, who's been feeling all alone and then has this news of a lump in her breast. God, we just pray that your healing touch would be there with her and that you would guide the doctors as they work with her. But let her know that she is not alone, that people care. And Lord, we lift up Bill this morning asking for your healing touch, your healing grace, and that there'll be a good report when he goes back to see the wound doctor here soon. And Lord, we lift up Jim and Kay, God, asking for your continued strength and your grace and your healing touch for each of them, Lord, as we lift them up today. And Lord, we lift up those on our monthly list, God, and you know each one of them, so many of them that we've been praying for. And we just ask for your healing touch, your grace, and your presence to be with them. Let faith arise in their hearts as they're battling these various issues. And Lord, we lift up Ukraine and Russia and the whole scenario there. We're asking that you will be able to work this all out to bring about peace talks and a ceasefire. And Lord, we just pray for your grace and that you would make a way where there seems to be no way in that situation. And Lord, we lift up these three unspoken needs and maybe other needs that were lifted up to you during the time of the song and the music that Carla played, where they couldn't share today. God, we ask that you would minister and make a way and work there and extend your grace and your touch as only you can do, as we lift them all up to you, Lord, and thank you for it. And we continue to pray that you will extend your grace to us as a community of faith, that you will continue to use us to be a blessing as you have, and that we might go forth and do your will and share your love and bring peace and joy into people's hearts because of the presence of Jesus in our lives. That's what we need more than anything else during this time in our world right now. Continue to bless the rest of our service and use us, that as we go forth, that we will be your hands and feet in the world as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Thank you for joining with us in prayer. Also, I did forget to share one. Remember Jody in your prayers. She is prepping today for a procedure tomorrow morning. And if those of you that know what prepping means, you know what I'm talking about. And I'll leave it at that. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today, and thank you so much for your faithfulness as we continue to give and sow into God's kingdom and make a difference in our world and community. God bless each one of you. So as our ushers come today, God bless you as you give. Join together there for our prayer of dedication. God, our companion, receive these gifts as seeds to be nurtured and grown into new abundance, more possibilities, and magnifying gifts for your kingdom on earth. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from two passages. I'm going off lectionary today for this message. I've had this kind of on the back burner for a while, and I wasn't sure when. And as I was kind of working through some stuff this week, nothing quite came together. And this message that I had on the back burner kind of popped into my head, and as I began to put it together and work on it, finishing it out, it came together very nicely. So we're going to be looking at two passages. First of all, from the Psalm this morning, Psalm 8. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 5. And, well, I take that back. I think it's a little bit more. I think it's the entire Psalm, or at least most of the Psalm, because I changed it at the last minute. And then we're going to be looking at a passage out of the book of Revelation, chapter 3, this morning. So let's begin there with Psalm 8. Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth. You made your glory higher than heaven. From the mouths of nursing babies, you have laid a strong foundation because of your foes in order to stop vengeful enemies. When I look up at your skies, at what your fingers made, the moon and the stars that you set firmly in place, what are human beings that you think about them? What are human beings that you pay attention to them? You made them only slightly less than divine, crowning them with glory and grandeur. You've let them rule over your handiwork, putting everything under their feet, all sheep and all cattle, the wild animals too, the birds in the sky and the fish of the ocean, everything that travels the pathways of the sea. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth. And then Revelation chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 7 and 8 and verse 11. Write this to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. These are the words of the one who is holy and true, who has the key of David. Whatever he opens, no one will shut. And whatever he shuts, no one opens. I know your works. Look, I've set in front of you an open door that no one can shut. You have so little power, and yet you have kept my word and haven't denied my name. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that our ears will be open today to hear what the Spirit wants to say to us. Amen and amen. I have a couple of these, and I'm going to share one of them. I think I shared this a long time ago, but it's kind of a joke somewhat, but it's also kind of says, things got you down, well then consider these. And here's one of them. In a hospital's intensive care unit, patients always died in the same bed on Sunday morning at 11 a.m., regardless of their medical condition. This puzzled the doctors, and some even thought it had something to do with something supernatural. No one could solve the mystery as to why the deaths occurred around 11 a.m. Sunday. So a worldwide team of experts were assembled to investigate the cause of the incident. The next Sunday morning, a few minutes before 11 a.m., all the doctors and nurses nervously waited outside the ward to see for themselves what the terrible phenomenon was all about. Some were holding wooden crosses, praying. Others were holding holy objects to ward off evil spirits. Just when the clock struck 11, Pokey Johnson, the part-time Sunday sweeper, entered the ward and unplugged the life support system so he could use the vacuum cleaner. It is kind of a joke. It's not a real story. So, yeah. And here you thought you had it bad in life. Yeah. This morning I want to talk to you about hold on to your crown. I think all of us, and even people out in the world, you know, across humanity, have a desire to feel needed. And I believe that God has placed that desire in us to contribute something valuable and make a significant impact in the lives of others, no matter how that comes through. It could come through work. A lot of people feel that way. They go to work every day, not only to make a living, but they feel like they are contributing something to society and making a difference. You know, just here recently, I have to say I'm very thankful for those who are working in restaurants and in grocery stores and all of these places right now. When there was a while when, you know, it wasn't happening and we weren't able to go to those kind of places. And I've just been kind of grateful for people that have stepped up here lately and done that, because that really keeps our society functioning in the way it does. But anyways, many people long to leave their mark in the world, to leave a legacy after they have passed from this world. Both the psalmist and the risen one, the risen Christ's message to the Philadelphian church speaks to our desire to contribute and have an impact. The psalmist reminds us of humanity's importance in the world, which I'll say more about here in a moment. And the risen Christ reminds the church that despite having little support, influence, and wealth, the church remained faithful, holding on to what they had so no one could take their crown. As I was thinking about those words, I started to think, if holding on to our crown, and I'm going to say more about that in a minute, is so important that the risen Christ addressed that through the prophet John, I want us to consider it this morning for a few moments. Let's look at it here. First of all, and this is probably no surprise to any of us, is that God has crowned us. By the way, let me just say something. If you're wondering what in the world that picture is on the PowerPoint today, that is a Roman wreath or crown that rulers wore in the Roman Empire throughout. If you've ever watched a movie that had the Roman Empire, you would see that little crown that they would wear to signify that they were royalty. And that's what we're using. We know that in ancient Israel, they used something like it. So this whole thing, if you ever see a Bible movie and they're wearing a golden crown, that's probably not really maybe until maybe later in the monarchy time. In the Old Testament time, but early on they would have wore something more all the way around. Romans had a tendency for it to come up to a point and go around. So that's kind of a picture there. But anyways, just as kind of a side note there, God has crowned us. And the psalmist says that when God breathed life into human beings, God distinguished us, set us apart, made us different than all of the rest of creation with glory and honor. Now, glory and honor are attributes of God. And notice in our reading, it says that God made us just a little less than God-like and has crowned us with this glory. And I think our reading was, some say splendor. I think our reading was grandeur, glory and honor, those aspects. And here's what I want you to see about this. All that we have in Christ is part of our crown. That we can draw out of the New Testament, especially in the book of Revelation. But as you do a further study, as I had done when I first was thinking about this, especially throughout the Old Testament, more specifically, the crown in the Old Testament represents our ability to walk in confidence and authority. Why was that? Because Psalm 8 tells us that that was given to us so that we can oversee and care for our lives and for our situations and the world around us. So that involves us, our personal lives, our personal bubble, if you might say, how I respond, how I react, how I live my life, but also how we interact and make a difference in other people's lives. And all of that is connected with our crown. And that crowning comes from, and that ability to walk in confidence and authority comes from God's breath, as the psalmist tells us, and blessing in and on our lives. God's bless, or God's breath, is another word for God's Spirit or the wind of God. Even Jesus talks about that. The Spirit comes and blows wherever it was, and he relates it to the wind blowing wherever it was. We don't know, we don't see it, we don't know where it goes. And he conveys the message that the Spirit does the work of the Father, and hopefully we can catch and be a part of it. God's grace, God's favor, God's love, God's wisdom, God's glory, God's honor, God's healing. I mean, we could just keep on going. God's blessings, all that get poured into our lives is so that we can walk confidently and with authority. And it's a reminder not only of God's blessings in our lives, but a reminder of our responsibility in this world. That we are supposed to make a difference in our world. And I might say it like this. Because we reflect God in the world, our perception of ourselves will determine what kind of lives we live and pass on. This really struck me way back months ago when I first started churning on this thing, but wasn't sure when to preach it. And this really hit me even this week as I was reworking it. Here's what I want you to see about this. If we see ourselves as less than God has made us, because of what somebody said about us, because of some circumstance, because of some past mistake, or whatever else you want to fill in the blank with, it's going to limit and affect our confidence and potential. Now, let me tell you, as a minister and a pastor, I have battled that on and off pretty much my whole life. It is always there. I always have to draw on God's strength because I know I'm not perfect. I mess up. And the world out there, and thankfully, you guys know better, at least I hope you do, that I am not perfect. But there's a lot of people out there that think preachers and pastors should never make mistakes, never have trouble, never have marital problems, never have kid problems, never have whatever. And so there's that weighs a lot on my life at times. And I can see this in my life that when I fail to cast aside that kind of stuff, it affects my potential and my authority that I walk in. Not only as a Christian, but also as a pastor and a preacher and so forth and so on. In other words, and here's what I want you to see. We are letting someone, something, some situation steal our crown. Stealing the confidence that we were called to walk in. So what's the answer? The answer is what the risen Christ told them to do, or what he commended them for. Embrace what we have. In other words, as the title says, hold on to your crown. Jesus told the church, hold fast to what you have so that no one, listen to that, no one can take your crown. Throughout life, there will always be someone or something or some situation trying to take our crown. So I've made it real simple and I put them in the negative, kind of in a directive here. We must, number one, stop letting people steal our crown. There will always be people talking about us, always trying to make us look bad at times, push us down, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. And they'll try to knock that crown off. And here's what I want us to see. We must do ourselves a favor and not let anyone have it. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "No one can make us feel inferior without our permission. Nobody can take our crown. We must let go of it." Somebody may say to you, "Well, you're not smart enough. You're not beautiful enough. You're not strong enough. You're not talented enough. You're not successful enough. You can't do it." I think sometimes, not always, but sometimes we think, "Yeah, that, you're right. I don't have what it takes." Stop letting people knock off your crown. Don't do it. I've been there too often. And there's a lot of preaching fingers coming back at me too this morning. Second thing, stop letting thoughts steal your crown. Ah, here's a big one right here. This is almost our own self-defeating way of battling our nature. Thoughts can be our own worst enemy. "Well, look at where you are in life. You should be ashamed of yourself. That mistake you made a month ago or a year ago or when you were a teenager. The times you failed." Don't let your thoughts have their way. "Nope, you're not taking my crown. Yes, I made mistakes. Yes, I've said things wrong. Yes, I probably treated people badly or not fairly. But that doesn't change my name." What's my name? Child of God. And God will take care of those kind of things in our own lives when we mess up. We don't have to beat ourselves up about it. The Holy Spirit touches us and lets us know, and we say, "Father, forgive us." If we're going to keep our crown, we must dig our heels in and say, "I'm not going to let my thoughts steal my crown. I know I've been created and crowned with honor and glory." When someone or some thoughts try to make us feel small, instead of being upset and believing it, just reach out and straighten your crown. They can't change us unless we allow them. They can't control our destiny. They don't determine our value. They don't breathe life into us. God did, and God calls us masterpieces. Don't you dare give away your crown. It belongs to you. It was put there by your Creator. It has nothing to do with how we feel, how we look, what others say, or what our thoughts convey. It's based solely on the fact that we are children of Almighty God. God has crowned us with glory and honor. Hold on to your crown. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a few moments here and share God's blessing with one another, if you want to do that for a few seconds. And then we will close out with our little chorus, have our benediction, and then we'll have our congregational meeting there. So let's take a few moments. Morning. can follow along on the PowerPoint. I remember we used to sing this in Sunday school and VBS. Let's sing it together. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, sing it again. Into my heart, into my heart, come in. Let's join together for our benediction. God is with us.
God has brought us here and now goes with us.
Let us go, revived, as ambassadors of compassion, showing the glory of God, embodying the peace of God, and the living hope of God. Amen.